I have only once seen Chasobius Boulengeri, if I've pronounced the Latin name of the tortoise correctly. Probably not. It does have other names. The Karua Potlober is, I suppose, the most commonly used name, although it's not commonly used because it's not often seen. The one that I did see, it was extraordinary. It was just such a delight because it had sort of the dying sun rays were catching it, and it was almost glowing copper bronze. It was really gorgeous, gorgeous. It's not the smallest of South Africa's tortoises. That honour belongs to the speckled Cape tortoise, the speckled Potlober. And I was intrigued to read this week that this Karoo dwarf tortoise plays a crucial role in seed dispersal for several plant species in the Karoo habitat. And therefore, if the Karoo habitat is to remain what the Karoo habitat has been, we do need to keep the Karoo dwarf tortoise around and prospering. Dr. Toby Keswick joins us now, co-author of a paper published around this issue. Toby, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm in good health. And yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. What would you like me to talk about specifically? I mean, I can give a general background of the study.
Let's sort of keep it reasonably lay. How important is the? I mean, is it? What do you call it? Do you call it?
I call it the Karoo dwarf padloper, but Chasobius boulengeri.
Yeah.
It used to be Homopus, but they split it about 3 years ago. It's got the other Chasobius and Homopus split. Chasobius all have five toes at the front of their feet.
And why
Homopus have four.
How important is it, and why is it important in Karoo ecology?
Well, it's important. What's interesting, it's probably one of the main species of plant it disperses is Hermania, which is a very palatable species of plant, and actually is a lot of livestock eat it, and it's important for livestock. And where you get a lot of it, you're probably going to, the felt is probably in reasonable condition, it hasn't been overgrazed. Problem comes when you get large droughts and people don't take livestock off the ground. You can't stock as many livestock when it's a drought. And so where the area we studied, the tortoises, there was plenty for this Hermania, and that was what it was distributing. It's just one, the interesting thing about it is you've got this one tiny little tortoise, and nobody knows anything about it, and it's performing this role in the ecosystem. It's got a very small home range, which is the area where it lives in. It's probably dispersing these seeds in sort of good microclimates, just under rocks and crevices where they live. Which probably plays a part in making it more likely for the plant to propagate successfully.
How much of a threat is the population under?
This population is basically what we call a relic population. It's mainly made up of adult tortoises. So we've actually published another paper where we talked about the population decline. And one of the reasons for that was actually the increase of, probably, we've got to look into it more, but the increase in corvids in the area, which is crows and ravens, but particularly pied crows. Pied crows, the Karoo is a shrub, as you probably know, a shrubby area,
yeah.
And crows like trees, they nest in trees and they perch in trees. And the Karoo has not got those facilities, but telecom poles that have been built by along roads into the heart of the Karoo suddenly provided this facility for the crows, plus roadkill supplemented it. So you've supplemented two things for crows, and they are very bad. They eat a lot of tortoises. There's not been anything, I think, specifically on this species, but other species of tortoises, like the angulate tortoise, there's been pictures of hundreds of shells underneath the nests, under pylons. So crows is one of the things that we want to try and control when it comes to this species. But this is literally the first population ever studied. You know, this is completely, it's nobody's managed to study it before. So it's sad to think that maybe this population may not survive.
And if it doesn't survive, and the use of the word may is not probably won't, but it still raises a very, a statistical possibility. If it doesn't survive, then what?
Well, we are looking. The name of the umbrella where the studies have been done on is by dwarf tortoise conservation, and dwarf tortoise conservation, which I'm sort of associated with in South Africa, is run by Victor Lure, and he and I have been talking to the Endangered Wildlife Trust. And I've also been on one survey with them near the Ennisburg Nature Reserve. And we're basically trying to find other populations because you need, apart from anything else, you want to try and protect not just one small area, but a big area. You know, the Karoo is one third of South Africa, basically, I think. It's a big part of South Africa. And this species occurs in the Eastern Cape, Western Cape and the Northern Cape, all in the Karoo. So we've got to try and find other populations and then try and make sure that we get stewardship programs or whatever and relate to other species that are also declining to try and sort of protect these areas, from being farmed, extensively or anything else.
Well, good luck, because the one time that I did see it, it made a lasting impression on me, and I'd love to be able to see it again. Dr. Toby Keswick is with the Dwarf Tortoise Conservation NGO and co-author of a paper, the first study of this tortoise.